And we're resuming in Sota, where we left off doing after at the end of Chalamoid. We're holding on page Dalet in Sota, Ois Yud. We were in the middle of learning all about, the Gemara was talking about the problem of Gassus Aruach, of Gaiva, of pride, comparing that to the Gemara had mentioned, it's like worshipping Avodah Zarah, it's like forgetting Hashem, it's like having relations with Arayas, and the Gemara had gone on and on talking about various aspects of how bad it is and the problems with it. So now the Gemara continues, Omer of Chissa, Omar of Itema Ma'ukra, Kol Odom Shiyesh V'Gas Saruach, a person who has the sense of Gaiva, of pride, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eina Nivahu Yecholun Lodur Ba'olam. Hashem says that he and I cannot live in the world together. Marsha says this actually relates to the previous piece of Gemara, where the Gemara had just said that a boss of Adam tends to associate with his social equals. So a greater person associates with greater people, and a lesser one with lesser person, with lesser people. Usually a greater person is going to consider it beneath his dignity to have to do with the lowly, whereas Hashem, Dafka, has to do with the lowly, Kiram Hashem B'shofo Yira. So now, Maharsha says, and this piece connects with that, therefore, that Hashem prefers to be with the Shofel, whereas on the contrary, the Gavoya, the one who makes himself high and proud, then Hashem is saying, he and I can't be together. Shanema, as the Pasuk says, Meloshni Vaseser Re'ehu, the one who says Loshen Hara in secret about his friend, about his fellow Yid, Oisei Atmis, him I'm going to cut off. In context, the Pasuk is talking about David HaMelech, saying that I can't tolerate having such people around me. I'm not going to have any of my ministers or any of my servants in my palace be that type of people. But we're understanding that it also means Hashem is speaking. And he continues, Gvah Enayim Urchav Levav, the one who has high eyes, who holds his eyes and himself very high up and proud, or Urchav Levav and has a wide heart, as he feels very big about himself, like you have the expression in Pirkei Avos about Talmid of Shabila Marasha, Ayn Gvoya v'ruach v'ruach Ayn Ra v'ruach Gvoya v'nefesh Rechava. So when he has that, Oisoy Le Uchal, Hashem says I can't stand him. I'll take with Oisoy Ela Itoy page Dalet in Sota. I'll take with Oisoy Ela Itoy. Don't read Oisoy him, but Itoy with him. So Hashem is saying Itoy Loy Uchal with him. I can't stand to be. The Ikka D'Masnil Amasapri Loshen Hara. Some say that instead that teaching about Einani Bahu Yecholun Loder is talking about Balei Loshen Hara Shenema Meloshen Vaseisu De'eo, because the beginning of the pasuk refers to people who are speaking Loshen Hara. In other words, according to that, the Oisa Le'ochal is referring back to the beginning of the pasuk rather than to the one immediately before it. Marshall says that the Gemara would say that actually what it means is it's both. The opinion that says that Mesapir Loshen Hara would say that it's both. Not only the Gvai Naim was mentioned right before that, but even the Mesapir Loshen Hara, the Balei Loshen Hara, who I mentioned earlier in the pasuk. Iyun Yaakov makes the point that we find the Nochash HaKadmoni was both of those things. It was a Baal Gaiva and it was a Baal Lashon Hara. So Hashem is saying, and there's the expression the Gemara has in some places, Ein Adam Dorim Nochash B'Kfifa, that a person can't be expected to live in one basket together with a snake. The Gemara uses it in context when you have, like, somebody is dangerous and unpredictable or crazy or whatever, you can't expect them to live together. It would be grounds for a get, for example. So here, metaphorically, Hashem is saying, I can't live together with a snake or people who are like the snake with these middis, and therefore we can't be together. But the Shalom HaKadosh has an interesting expression about this Ein Ani Bahu Yecholun Loder. He says what's holding it back is not so much from Hashem's point of view, but from the Baal Gaiva's point of view. He says the vort is, you find people who have real accomplishments to their name in a particular area, they like to associate with other people who are also knowledgeable in that topic. On the other hand, sometimes you have people who are not really so accomplished and they just put on a show that they are. They don't want to associate with the ones who are knowledgeable because then they're going to be shown up for the amoratsim that they are. So they'd rather associate with the ones who know very little about it, where they can wow them and make them think that they know a lot. I'll directly, you know, like you have in Pirkei Avos, Hevi Zonav La'aroyis Valti Roish L'shu Olim, person might figure, well, you know what, I'll be among the foxes, the people who don't know much, and I'll be their head, and they're going to think of me as greater than I really am. So therefore, in the same vein, the Baal Gaiva doesn't want to be around the Shechina, because then he knows he's going to be shown up compared to the Shechina for what he really is, so therefore it's he who doesn't want the Shechina with him rather than the other way around. Yeah. The Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Alexandri, Kol Mishiyesh Begasus Aruach, a person who has this feeling of gasas ruach, of gaiva, afilu ruach kima eichartoi, even a little wind mixes him up and destroys him. The little wind can be, it can be like the little troubles and the little hardships and things of life. It can mean, Beni Hayoda says, it means, for example, somebody says something to him that he doesn't like and it makes him go to pieces, etc. Basically, because he's a Baal Gaiva, so like he thinks that everything is an insult to him and therefore it bothers him excessively. Now, there's an interesting explanation also that the idea is because a person who's not a Baal Gaiva, when something like that happens to him, then he thinks to himself, you know what? I mean, Minashamayim is Minashamayim. I must deserve it for something or other. As opposed to the Baal Gaiva is going to think to himself, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I'm a big tzaddik. So therefore, it's going to destroy him. Baruchnis, because he's going to think that the Eibishter is not doing fairly or something. Yeah, by the way, in that connection, a Gemara in Erchin that says if a person goes 40 days without any kind of Yisurim, even the most minor Yisurim, the Gemara gives an example over there of Yisurim as you reach into your pocket for change and you pull out the wrong amount, a person goes 40 days without anything like that, means that he's got his entire schar in this world and he's got nothing left for Olam Haba.
Wow.
So when a person is suffering from the Ruach Kima in whatever it is, then he should have to realize that, this is a good thing, because otherwise he might reach that 40-day, limit. Anyway, Shenema, as the Pasuk says, V'rishoyim kayom nigrosh, the Rishoyim are like the turbulent sea, ki hashket lo yuchal, which can never be silent and calm. Rashi points out that the previous psukim before that, we have this is a pasuk from Yeshaya. We read it in Haftarah of Yom Kippur morning. The previous psukim talk about the humble, lahachis ruach shvalim ki loylam orim, and it talks about a person who is being humbled by his yisurim, and Hashem and that cleans up his averus, and Hashem heals him and forgives him. But now we say the rishoyim, meaning they don't do that. They don't. They're not humble, and they don't get humbled by these things. Just the opposite. They use it as an excuse to complain against Hashem. So therefore, Rashi brings from the end of the pasuk, vayigrushu meim of refesh v'tip. Such people are like the sea that's constantly dragging up and throwing up mud and filth. The same way this person, that's what he does with the when this ruach Kima ruffles in. So ma yam sheyesh bekama revius. Now consider madach the sea, which has many revius of water in it. It has millions of gallons of water in it. Ruach kima ichautoi, and yet a tiny wind ruffles it and stirs it up. Odom shein ve'elu revius dam alachas kama v'kama shein ve'elu revius dam achas alachas kama v'kama. How much more so a person who has in him only one revius of blood. What do we mean that a person has a revius of blood? So Rashi explained the person has many gallons of blood in him, but the halacha l'moshe misinai is the minimum amount of blood that a person could survive with is a revius. Maybe we're talking about like a newborn baby, but whatever it is, that's in halacha. You have that for that reason, a revius of blood and no less is metame. A revius of blood from a dead person is metame precisely because that's the minimum amount that a person could live on. Tosfos makes, by the way, an interesting calculation in this connection and equates it with 25 sloyim, Rabbi Akiva Eger in Gilui Nashas explains how Tosfos makes the calculation. It's a little hard to understand, though, because a sela we usually calculate as being approximately 4/5 of an ounce. So 25 sloyim would be a little over a pound, whereas a revius is a lot less than that. A revius is only a couple of ounces, so what Tosfos means, I'm not sure. In any case, So we see, in other words, that here this Rasha is ruffled and bothered by that little bit of wind, even more so than the sea. Ein Elio on Ein Yaakov points out in that case, I mean, everybody has that revius of blood, the tzaddikim as well. So why are we saying that the Ruach Kima bothers only the Rishoyim and not the tzaddikim? So he says a couple of reasons. One of them is that tzaddik is mainly an Olam Haba, so it's like his roots, so to speak. The Medrash strikes up an analogy that a person is like a tree, his roots are an Olam Haba, and his trunk is in this world. So the same way, the tzaddik is roots are an Olam Haba, and his main thing is an Olam Haba, so therefore the winds of this world don't bother him. And he says the second answer is because the Eibishter protects him from the harmful effect of that wind. Marsha has a whole different explanation of this Gemara over here. He says the word is not oichartoi, which means that it confuses and stirs him up and bothers him, but rather oivartoi, that the wind overpowers him. So he says, because like this, the Gemara is comparing the Rosha to the sea, we often find that the Rishoyim are compared to the waves of the sea. Famously, for example, in Bava Basra, when you have all the stories with Rava Baba Chana that involve giant waves and giant fish and whatnot, and Maharsha explains over there in some detail that the giant waves over there represent the various Rishoyim who constantly try to overpower us. So therefore, so he says, the vort is, Ruach Kima Eivartai, that here you have, the Rishoyim are like the waves who think they're going to, each one thinks it's going to tower and overrun and destroy the whole world, but a Ruach Kima, that little bit of sand by the seashore, which the Eidosh to put there, which is Ruach Piv, that breaks it and prevents it from going any further. So, and therefore, the idea is every wave contains many ravias, and yet one little ruach of Hashem that puts the sand there as a barrier stops it. Alachas kama v'kama, the rishoyim of the world, the various goyish rulers over time who are each compared to a wave, then they get broken and evarta, and they're overpowered by that little bit of wind, by that little bit of breath of Hashem that keeps them at bay. Okay, the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Chiya Ba'ashi Amar Rav, Talmud Chacham Tzarech Shehebar Echad Mishmoina B'Shminis. A Talmud Chacham has to have 1/8 of an eighth of Gaiva. Meaning, in other words, even though we're talking all this time that there's a problem with Gaiva and Gassas HaRuach, but nevertheless he should have a tiny amount. Now, why Dafka an eighth? First of all, Rashi says, as a practical matter, the reason is you don't want the Kalei Rosh to walk all over him. You want people, he's a Talmud Chacham, he needs to be able to have, that people should respect him, and if he doesn't have any of that trace, that one eighth of an eighth, then they're going to ignore him and walk all over him and not respect him. So he has to have that. What do we mean by an eighth of an eighth? So there's a lot of different explanations. Rashi says, and so do a number of other Rishonim, it just means the smallest measure that we can think of. The Gemara, in other places, in particular in Bava Basra, and it gives a list of the weights that they used in those times. The smallest weight they used back then was a little thing called an uchla, which is 1/64th of a lug, or elsewhere the Gemara implies it's 1/64th of a kav or something like that, but whatever, it's the smallest measurement. So therefore, when the Gemara says 1/64th of a year, it means like that smallest measurement like you could that you could think of. In modern terms, like we might say, for example, like an ounce, or we might say a milliliter or whatever, you know, to express the same point. A lot of Mephoshim talk about there is significance in the number 64. Maharsha says, first of all, he mentions that you have eight is associated with the Torah. We find that the Kapitel Kuf Yud Tes has eight psukim, which talks about the greatness of the Torah. Every pasuk over there uses one of eight synonyms to talk about the Torah, and you have eight psukim per letter. So therefore, Shmona Shabashminis represents, in other words, that he has that little bit of gaiva that's necessary for him to function as a Talmud Chacham, and like Rashi says, for him to actually be paid attention to, that people should have covered for his Torah. Maharsha also says Derech Tzachos, he brings a point, that Anaf Yosef also brings, that the Arizal said the same idea, that the number 63 is Gematria Gas. So if a person has 1/63rd of the measure of Gaiva, that's already a problem, that he's a Gas Ruach. But if he has 1/64th, 1/8th of an eighth, then that's fine. So Anaf Yosef also refers it to the eight psukim per letter in Kapitel Kuf Yud Tes. He says the eighth pasuk of letter Ches is Chover Ani L'Chol Asher Yireucha, that we say that I'm a friend, I'm a colleague to all of those who fear you. So in other words, a person shouldn't think to himself that, you know what, I'm too lowly to be together with the or on the contrary, I'm too proud to be together with the lowly ones. No, Hashem loves the lowly ones, and therefore we should associate with them. Anybody who fears you, no matter how high or low they are, then I'm a friend to them. The truth is that's actually not the eighth pasuk of Ches. That's actually the seventh pasuk of Ches. The eighth one is Ches Hashem Malar Tzchukech Alamdeni. So okay, I'm not sure then why Anaf Yosef identifies it as the eighth pasuk. There's a famous vort from the Vilna Gaon that says on it that it refers to the eighth pasuk of the eighth parasha in the Torah, which is the eighth parasha is Vayishlach, and the eighth pasuk is Katonzi. So therefore, so it means that the Echad Mishmona Shebashminis consists of that the person has a feeling of Katonti Mikol HaChasadim, which means, in other words, that he has, you know, as the Gemara mentions, as the Alter Rebbe brings in Tanya, it means that, you know, my Chasadim may have been used up by my mitzvahs may have been used up by the Chasadim that the Eibishter did for me. So therefore, that's the kind of attitude that would be the Shemona Shebashminis. Yes, I had great advantages that I accomplished before, but now they've been used up by the Eibishter's Chasadim. Like our parasha this week. Well, our parasha is also Shmini, that's true. There's a vote on it also. There's a vote from the Rebbe of Heschel in the Sefer Chanukah Satorah. He says the Gemara elsewhere talks. We know famously that when it came to Matan Torah, how Tovar and how Caramel came to argue that the Torah should be given on them, and the Eibishter ignored all of them and gave the Torah on Har Sinai. Now he says how Tovar we find elsewhere that the Gemara says that it's four parasa in size. Four parasa is, there's 8,000 amas to a parasa, so four parasa would be 32,000 amas. What that means, how tall is not quite that tall, maybe it means the whole slope of it or something, I don't know. Anyway, how Sinai, he says, is 500 amas tall, which is 1/64th of how tall. So there you go, there's your 1/64th, there's your Shemona Shebashminis. That little bit of gaiva, that little bit of gasas haruach, will be a crown for him like the bristles on top of a stalk of grain. We learned previously, the Gemara had used that metaphor earlier in the sugya as well, to say that when a person, the Gemara had quoted a pasuk of Chorosh Shibolus Yimolu, that the Bali gaiva are going to be cut off like the top of the stalk, and the Gemara had said, one opinion is it meant those bristles. You look at a stalk of grain, you have a bristly hair kind of thing that grow on top of the grain, and they break off and then fall off very easily, in the same way the Baal Gaiva is going to break and fall very easily. But here we're saying, on the contrary, the little bit of Gaiva that the Talmud Chacham should have, the Shemona Shebashminis, will decorate him like the way those bristles decorate the top of the sheaf of grain. So in other words, there is a certain validity to it. It's a good thing for him to have. On the other hand, and in that connection, Omar Rava, Vishamta Mandi Isbeir, there's a vote on it, by the way, also, that bristle is on the outside, it's attached to the shells and whatnot that surround the grain, it's not pneumius stick to it. So that represents the point that this Shemona Shebashminis has to be something external to him, it shouldn't be something that he makes part of his pneumius. However, and in that connection, Omar Rava, Vishamta Manda Isbe or Vishamta Manda Lesbe. A person who has Gaiva needs to be in Chedim, and a person who doesn't have it should also be in Chedim. Again, in other words, a person has to have that very fine balance to not have too much of it, but also not to have too little or none at all, because then, like we said, the Amei Oretz and whatnot won't listen to him.
You have to know your
Milos and you have to know your Chesronis, yeah. Someplace I read where they asked some famous Rav, I don't remember now who, they asked them, so how come you find some Talmid Chachamim who have too much Gaiva, more than the 1/64th that he says over here? And he says, well, they don't always learn mathematics. on the other hand, Omer of Nachman, Omer of Yitzchok, loy mi nov, loy mi ktsasa. He says, no, nothing of it and nothing of even a semblance of it. No, a person should not have any of that geyser. Mi zutra mai dichtiv dei. After all, it is a small thing what it says about geyver toiv as Hashem kol gvalev, that it's disgusting to Hashem, anybody who has any proudness of heart, meaning, in other words, don't bother with that 1/64th, just don't have it at all. Al derech, like it says in Pirkei Avos, ma'od ma'od hevi shval ruach. The Rishonim actually talk about, so who taka should the halacha be like? Should it be taka that the Talmud Chacham should have Shemona Shebashminis, or should he maybe be like a Nachum Yitzchok and not have any at all? Continuing on this topic of gasas haruach and the opposite of it, of being an onav. Oh, there's another vort, by the way, also on the Shemona Shebashminis. There's another vort that's brought on it, that's based on the Zohar. We know that you have the three psukim in Parshas Beshalach, Vayisa, Vayovei, Vayet, where each one of them is 72 letters, and you put them the first pasuk with all the letters in order, the second one backward, the third one again forward. Then you end up with 72 triplets of letters. The first one is is Vav, He, and Vav. The second one is, each one has significance. Afi Kabbalah, Sefer Raziel, Hatm Sefer Raziel HaMalach goes through all of them in detail in many places in Kabbalah and occasionally in Chassidus. It talks about the significance of them when we say in davening on, when we say during Hashinus on Nivahu, Hashia, Na, those are two of those 72 names, V'chola, V'chola. Anyway, they calculate the eighth one of them is Ayin Nun Vav, which spells out the word Anav. So that's another meaning of Shmonish or Bishminis, is that the eighth of an eighth should be that sense of Anivus. So the Gemara continues, Amar Chizkiya, Ein Tfilas Shel Adam Nishmas, Elem Kein Mesim Atzmai U Liboy Kabosar. A person's tefillah is heard by Hashem only if he makes his heart like flesh. Meaning, in other words, that he should be, his heart shouldn't be like a stone, that he's stubborn, but rather it should be like flesh that's pliable. We find that metaphor used in a few places in Nevi'im. Yechezkel says in a couple of places in his Sefer. One of them we have in that Torah, Parshas Parah, Vasiroisius, Leva Evan, Mibsarchem, and Asakel Lachem Leibose, where Yechezkel is saying to the people, till now you've been stubborn, and you've had like a heart of stone, not receptive to Elikos, and now I'm going to put in you a heart of flesh, and you're going to be pliable and receptive to Elikos. So now Chizkiya is saying a person has to have that attitude in order for his tefillah to be heard by Hashem. Shenema, as the pasuk says, v'hoyah midei chodesh v'chodshoy, when Mashiach comes, every Rosh Chodesh, umidei Shabbos v'shabbatoy, and every Shabbos, yovei chobosu li'shachbos v'fonai, Omer Hashem, all flesh will come to bow before me, meaning to daven before me, says Hashem. So we see, in other words, only the ones who are boser, as opposed to the gasli aruach, Hashem is saying they don't belong there. Marsha points out, because otherwise, why would it say kol boser? You would expect it to say kol odom. So Marsha points out, you know, by the Mabul, for example, it says Kehishchus called Boser, because there it wasn't just the people, it was the animals as well. But here, when we're talking about people, when we're talking about coming to the Bais Mikdash to bow and to daven for Hashem, the animals aren't doing that, only the people. So you would expect it to say Adam. So no, it says Boser in order to make this point that the person has to feel himself like Boser in order to have his tefillah accepted by Hashem. Omer Rav Zera. So Rav Zera says, here's another example from next week's parasha. Boser ksiv devin nirpa, odom like ksiv devin nirpa. You look at how the various kinds of tharas are introduced. So you have the pasuk mentions, the pasuk begins by saying, odom kiyya b'ur b'saray, where a person has in his skin, se'esas, apachas, the various kinds of tharas. So it talks about the dinim of tharas. It never uses the word that he's healed. Eventually, you have in Parshas Metzora, he gets healed, and then you have the whole procedure over there, but not in connection with the word odom. Later in the parasha, you have it describes the case of the case of shchin, the case where a person has a boil or a swelling or whatever it is that's on his skin, and then as it's healing, it develops tzaras over there, and the expression is uvoser ki yevoy va'ora shchin v'nirpa. So flesh that has a shin on it, and then the shin heals, and then in the place where it's in, as it's healing, then saras develops over there. So we see that in connection with boser, the Torah uses the word v'nirpa, whereas when it comes to odom, it does not. That symbolizes the point that if a person feels himself like an odom, meaning Rashi says odom is meloshon adama, he feels himself hard and unpliable and then proud like the earth, then he's not going to have a refuah so quickly from the yisurim. And as we said before, ruach kima echarter, even the smallest amount of yisurim is going to ruffle him and bother him and then impair his relationship with the Eibishter. Whereas if a person feels himself to be boser, then v'nirpa, then he's much closer to being healed from the yisurim, because then they have the proper effect on him, and then as Rashi had quoted from the pasuk from the psukim in Yeshaya before, because of his averus, katsafti v'akeu, I was angry at him and I struck him, and then ve'er po'eu, and then Hashem says, I see he did tshuva and I heal him. So the same way over here, when the person feels himself to be boser, when he feels himself to be soft and pliable, then he's much closer to the four. The Gemara continues. Amar of Yechonon, the word Odom itself is an acronym for what a person consists of. Afer Dam Mora. A person consists of ashes, Vanuchi Ofer Afer, Dam, blood, and Mora, which is literally Mora means bile, which is a digestive juice that's produced by the liver, but more generally Mora means the various fluids that are in the body besides for blood. Medical theory in those times had Maharsha refers to that the medical theory in those times had the idea that there are four main kinds of mara in the body, and each one has an effect on a person's temperament in various ways. We have you have the expression even to this very day in Lashon Kodesh, you have the expression mara shchora, which comes from that idea where there's black bile, some kind of digestive juice or something that there's too much of in a person's system, and it causes them to be melancholy and depressed. In modern terms, you might say the same kind of thing. You have the various hormones that have an effect on a person's that have an effect on the person's brain and on his mood and so on and so forth. Anyway, the idea is a person consists of all those things, and when a person actually Rashi mentions this point about the different moras. Anyway, the point is that so a person should realize that he's composed of these things, and therefore he has nothing more to be geizedik about. So Maharsha explains, Maharsha teaches out, Afer or Ofer, they're often used as synonyms, is the lowliest of all the four Yesodis. The Eibishter made a person, Ofer min ha'adama, and Afer is basically a synonym for that. Dumb represents that a person is susceptible to illnesses. The Gemara elsewhere mentions that the chief thing of all illnesses has to do with the blood. And mara represents, again, that you have these four maras, as Rashi talks about, that you have these various kinds of humors and hormones and whatnot, that different ones are also stronger at different times of year. Sort of like, you know, nowadays you have people who have spring allergies, and you have people who have winter depression and that sort of thing. So therefore, a person should realize, in other words, that he has nothing to be proud about. The Maharal says another point as well. Each of these represents a different stage in a person's life. The offer refers to what he's created from. The dam is when he's alive now. He says that as far as Bush is Srimaricha, but Efer Dam Mora, I think he says, refers to you have the neshama, the guf, and the seichel, that each one of those can be associated with one of these things. Then Rabbi Yochanan continues, Boser stands for Busha Srucha Rima, shame, rottenness, and bad smell, and worms. The point is that Maharsha goes on to say, in other words, that he should realize if he doesn't act the way he's supposed to, if he's going to be Rav HaShemayim, then he's going to have busha, he's going to be embarrassed when he comes in front of the Yomad, when he comes to the Yomadin. It shouldn't be Rav HaBrius, it shouldn't be bad to other people, but then he'll be Saruach, they're going to consider him smelly and disgusting and off-putting, and he shouldn't be Rav to himself, because he himself is going to eventually be eaten by worms. And then you have there are Mephoshim who associate those actually with the three that we have in Pirkei Avos. Dam Ma'ayin Bosa, Ola Anata Holach, the Fnei Miyasa also didn't Vecheshven. So Ma'ayin Bosa, the tip of Srucha, that's the Srucha over here. La Anata Holach, and often Rima V'Seleya, you go into a place of worms and maggots, which is the Rima over here, and Bushes, the Fnei Miyasa also didn't Vecheshven. Like Maharsha says, that a person is going to be standing in front of the base in Shomayla and have to give an accounting. So the Ikad Amri, Bushes Sho'il Rima. Others say that Bosa, the sin, instead of standing for the word Srucha, instead stands for the word Sha'ol, which means the grave and also means Gehenna. Dichtiv B'Shin, because after all, the word Bosa is written with a letter that can be read as Shin or Sin, so therefore, in other words, so the first version associated with the word Srucha, because the Sin and Samach sound the same. The second one focuses on how it's written, and therefore associates it with the word sho'il, where sho'il and boser both have the letter that's shaped the same way, just that is pronounced shin and sin, respectively. The Gemara continues, Amar Ravashi, Kol Adam Shiyesh Begasas HaRuach, a person who has Gasas HaRuach, L'Soif Nifchas, is eventually going to be reduced. Nifchas, Rashi says, Meloshim Pachas, he's going to be reduced from his importance, and he's going to become Pachas Vanoshim, the least important among people. We had a similar thing earlier in the Sugya, where the Gemara had the expression, L'Soif Mismait, that he's going to get reduced, and Rashi had also touched there, it meant from his Chashivos. There we had actually other Mephoshim, Iyun Yaakov over there had explained that it meant that he loses his Torah and his wealth. So here you have in a similar vein, Nifchas. Shenemar v'las eis v'las apachas, again going back to Tzaras, where you have the different kinds of Tzaras, one of which is called se'es, where se'es literally means raised up. And in fact, Se'es is so called actually because compared to Baheres, compared to the other major type of Tzaras, it doesn't look quite as deep into the skin. All Tzaras is flat on the skin, but Rashi points out in Parshas Tzriya that the brighter shades of Tzaras look like they're deeper in the skin, the same way as sometimes a sunny area looks deeper than the shady areas around it. So a Se'es is a slightly duller white, so it doesn't look quite as deep. Therefore, it's called Se'es. But here, the Gemara is downshining the Se'es for the Sapachas, the Se'es, because a person makes himself higher. Therefore, Sapachas, therefore, he's going to become a secondary person. Marshall points out that, after all, the Torah has just gone through two whole prokim discussing all about Tzaras. So why does it, when the Pasuk already says, Zoi sa Torah, l'chol nega Tzaras v'la noset, then why does it need to continue mentioning v'la se'es v'la sapachas v'la bahores when those are already included in nega? So therefore, that's the Gemara is darshaning. Therefore, that se'es v'la sapachas is telling us something else. That it's teaching us about what happens to a person who makes himself high. First of all, the ain se'es el loshen gavus, the expression se'es means to raise himself high. Shenemar, as you have a pasuk, va'alkala horim aromim, on all the lofty mountains, va'alkala gvoris hanisois, and on all the high up hills. So we see that nisois refers to hills that are high up. So the person makes himself high and important. Ve'en sapachas el tfeila. And then the word sapachas, the next thing in the pasuk, means secondary, like an auxiliary to somebody else. Shenemar, as you find a pasuk in the Nevuah that Hashem sends to Eliyahu, sends the Navi to tell Eliyahu Koyin that because of the way his sons have been acting, therefore his family is going to be demoted from the Kohen Gadolah. So the last words of it are, Va'omar, your descendants are going to say, Sfocheni no, al-achas kohunos, join me together, make me an auxiliary, make me a secondary member of one of the groups of the Koyinim, one of the Mishmaris of Koyinim, lecho paslochem, so that I should be able to eat a piece of bread. In other words, that I should be able to get a parnasa by working in the Bais Mikdash a couple of times a year that the Mishmaris work. In other words, Hashem is telling him, until now, your family were the really important ones. You're the Kohen Gadol, your children are the Sgonei Kohona, etc. But now, because of the way they acted, then you're going to be demoted in position among the Kohenim. The point is, we see the word Sfocheni means like gather me in and make me like a secondary, less important member of the group. So we see, therefore, las es for las sapachas means the person makes himself high, and therefore sapachas, he ends up getting lowered from his position and becoming secondary to somebody else. Marsha points out, we have an example of it in history. We have the famous example of Yahu HaMelech, one of the middle kings of Yehuda, who the Pasuk says on him, Govach Libay Ad LaHashchis. He became very proud in a destructive way. He thought it would be an honor to Hashem for him to bring Todas in the Bais HaMikdash. And he's not, because he's a melech from Beis David. He has no business being over there. And he goes in to try bringing Tzaras. And what happens? Tzaras breaks out on his forehead, and he has to be demoted from the kingship. And he's living in Beis HaChofshes. He's living in a house in the Beis HaKvaris for the rest of his life, and not actually being able to function as king. So therefore, that's an example of the Se'es bringing him to Sapachas. And actually in connection with Tzaras. The Gemara continues, Amr b'Shem and Levi, Boyer, on the other hand, the positive side of it, Boyerei kamagdolim nemuchei haruach lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come see how great those who are of humble spirit, the people who are anovim, are before Hashem. Shebizman shebis mifnesh kayim, when the bis mifnesh is standing, odem ak makriv oila, if a person brings a korban oila, find tzchar oila b'yodeh, then he has the reward for bringing a korban oila. Makruv mincha, and if he brings a korban mincha, tzchar mincha b'yodeh, so fine, he has the tzchar for bringing a mincha. So it means, first of all, he has the tzchar only for that one korban that he brought, and second of all, he has to bring that he brings it ma'is and boil, and only in one place in the world, too, only in the bis mifnesh. Abel Misha Daita Shvala, but a person who is humble, Mala Olav Akosiv Kilev Hikriv Kolak Kavonis Kulon, then Hashem counts it to his credit as though he brought all the Kavonis, which means he has all those advantages. It's all the Kavonis. It can be anywhere in the world, and he doesn't have to do it in Maisi Bapoyal. He just has to have that feeling of contriteness and tshuva. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Zivchei Elikim Ruach Nishvara, the Korban Nois Zivchei in plural of Elikim, there is a broken spirit. We have in Igeres HaTshuva, the Alter Rebbe brings from Zohar, that whenever throughout Chumash, whenever it talks about Korbanos, it always uses Shem Havaya. The Medrash actually says the idea is that you don't want, people shouldn't think that Korbanos are maybe being brought to some other power, Chas V'Shalom, they're all being directed to the Eivishter, and the name Yudke Vovke refers exclusively to the Eivishter, as opposed to Elikim, sometimes means other powers as well. But here you have, what is the Korban that's brought to Elikim? Is Lev Nishvara, when a person's heart is broken with Tshuva. That's the Korban to Shem Elikim. V'loy oid, and not only that, continues Rabbi Yisroel ben Levi, Elisha ain't tefilosinim eses, his tefillah will not be rejected by Hashem. Shenema, as that pasuk continues, Lev nishba v'nidka, elekim lo sivza, broken and crushed heart, you Hashem will not mock, you won't think it unimportant, you'll pay attention to the tefillahs of such a person. An interesting point is, why would we think that Hashem might reject his tefillah? So Maharsha elsewhere explains, Pasha Diab, the Derech Boss of Adam is that nobody pays attention to broken kelim, you throw them out. But here we're saying, a person has a Lev Nishbo, you might think, maybe Hashem doesn't want to pay attention to it, no, Fakir Kalakim Laisivze, you don't think it unworthy, and you accept it. Eitz Yosef also refers to a point you have the Gemara elsewhere talks about a person who has an uncontrollable Yetzirah, where he could go someplace else and act in a way that will break his tivus, and hopefully that'll help. So now you would think, though, maybe he even ends up still falling in and doing his tivus. You would think maybe the Eibishter is going to reject his tefillah. No, we're saying because he is making the effort and he is humbling himself, and therefore the Eibishter will accept his tefillah. Ben Yehoyada says another point as well. Sometimes we know you can always have a person that davens for something and the Eibishter knows it won't be good for him. You can even have an example. Now you can have a down to earth example. Let's say a person davens for riches and the Eibishter knows that if he's rich, then he's gonna become a miser and he's not gonna be a Baal Tzedakah and so on and so forth, or he's gonna lose his betochen and the Eibishter, whatever. But sometimes Ben Yehoyada gives an example. You have a person is davening for rain. He doesn't realize that there are locust eggs in the ground over there. If it rains, then those eggs are gonna be able to hatch and then you're gonna have a plague of locusts. Mashenkin, the Eibishter will hold back the rain. Then good, those locust eggs will die and you'll never know that anything happened. So therefore, he says, so that in that case, the Eibishter necessarily has to reject the tefillah. But you would think the Eibishter rejects it altogether. No, elikim lo sivze, ain't tefilosin in eses. Hashem makes it that his tefillah will still have an effect someplace else, in some other way.
There's nothing more bold than joking hearts.
Right, yeah.
This is a man of this, the Danish Monais will say, in the first of Arikta, it's the Egyptian of Techa.
Right.
Your davening, not my davening.
Not my davening, which is right. A person doesn't always know what's best for him, right? Yeah. And the Gemara continues, V'amar Rabbi Yisroel ben Levi, kol hashom or choseh ba'olam hazeh, a person who evaluates his ways in this world, meaning a person who's constantly evaluating, Rashi explains, hefsed mitzvah keneged schara, like you have in Pirkei Avos. That a person always thinks, if I do this mitzvah, I stand to lose such and such, but I stand to gain more from it with closeness to the Eibishter, and therefore I should do it. And vice versa with an Avera, yeah, I have some short-term gain maybe to have from it, but the loss is so much greater that I'm not going to do it. So a person is always evaluating that. That's how Rashi explains Shomer Chosem. The Rambam has a different understanding of it, which is, we know famously that Rambam says in Hilchos Deis that a person should be, with most midas, should be in the exact middle, with the exception of a couple of midas, that the Rambam says that a person should incline more to one side or the other. So therefore, Shomer Chosem means that he's constantly evaluating, am I really on that middle ground? Anyway. So Rabbi Yisroel ben Levi says, Zoich v'roya b'shu'oseh shalakadosh baruch hu, he will have the schus to see the salvation of the Eibishter. It can mean a personal salvation. It can mean the salvation of the Jewish people with Mashiach. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'som derech, the person who places his way, arenu b'yesha elikim, I will show him the salvation of Hashem. I'll tikkun v'som ela v'shom derech. So don't read v'som, but rather v'shom with a shin, and therefore it comes meloshen shuma, meloshen evaluating. So he's constantly evaluating and considering his ways. Am I doing the right thing, or do I need to adjust? And therefore, so he's zilcha v'roi b'shua se'shalach harish baruch hu.
Meaning,
he's always thinking to himself. He's not satisfied with where he is right now. He's always thinking and being careful to see where am I holding in my avodah and what do I need to adjust in order to be better. You have the famous brayse of Pinchas ben Yair at the end of Sota and Avodah Zarah, that you have the whole thing, Zehirus Mivir Lidei Zrizus, Zrius Zrizus Mivir Lidei Nikiyus, etc. The whole Sefer Masilas Yisharim is based on that brayse. Anyway, Zehirus, that's where this is the first stage, is Zehirus over there for a person to be careful and constantly be evaluating where am I holding in Avodah and what do I need to, and what do I need to adjust. Further on, one little more piece over here. Further on, and now after this whole digression about Gaiva and Anivus and all that, now the Gemara gets back to the topic of the Masechta, which is Soita, and you have the case that the Mishnah mentions that if during the time she's suspected as a Soita, if during that time her husband dies, then the Mishnah says, Chalitzah Soloi Misyabemis, if they're childless, she needs Chalitzah, but she can't do Yibum. So the Gemara discusses why not. Why shouldn't she do Yibum? She's not also to her husband yet. So the Gemara says, because after all, we have reason to suspect that there's something wrong over here. She's a suspected soita after all. And as we learned at the end of yesterday at the end of Gittin, when the pasuk says v'holcha v'hoisa l'ish acher, when the pasuk talks about a divorced woman going and marrying an ish acher? Why not sheni? As we learned yesterday, Om Rabbi Yosef Hakosav Kroy Acher she'ein ze ben zuga sholishin. The Torah is calling her second husband acher, as in like he's a whole different kind of person. Shezeh hoitzi rishal mibesei v'zeh. The first husband sent out the Rishal from his house, which he's not acting properly, as we learned yet, in terms of tznius and other things, as we learned yesterday, and this guy is bringing in a Rishal into his house, so therefore he deserves to be called Acher. So the point is, in other words, that the point is, the Gemara says, so how can you tell the brother of her first husband that he should go marry her in Yibum? Why should you put such a thing on him and make him have to marry a woman who's a suspected Rishal? Mm-hmm. On the other hand, the fact is, there still is a Zika, which is why she needs Right there. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ru'ola. Chavav Nissen. So during these weeks, we're learning Pirkei Avos. So the Rebbe was talking about Parshas Shmini and Nun Aleph, that we have to add in Torah and Mitzvah, especially the Zman Groma, is the minig of learning Pirkei Avos after Mincha, first between Pesach and Shavuos, and eventually then during the rest of the summer. First of all, a person has to do that himself. He also has to be mashpia on other people to add to that as well. You may even have that the mashpia himself was lacking in some way in that complete avoda, so he has to add for himself to fly him to Pashia, make it even stronger and redoubled, and that includes by influencing other people to do that. And in general, the avoda of spreading Torah and spreading Yiddishkeit and afotas samayonos chotza, and that brings kaasi ma'u domalko mashicha. Biyad mamash. Continuing on halachas and matzoi Shabbos, we talked yesterday about the brachas of Havdalah, including the bracha of Besamim. So now the question is, we know that there are different brachas for different types of Besamim. You have Bore Akse Besamim and Iske Besamim and Mine Besamim and so on and so forth. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, and Alter Rebbe says in a similar vein, that's good to put in there a little musk, because that L'chole Alma is Bore Mine Besamim. So like this, for example, people often use cloves. Technically, cloves would be Boda Apse B'samim, but you use other kinds, and they might be Boda Isve B'samim. So like this, you put in musk or some other material like that, which is clearly Boda Min B'samim, he says you should also take a Hadas, because once the Hadas will use one time for the mitzvah of Dalad Minim, then you use it again for another mitzvah, which is why you often have, sometimes people will take their Estrog and put cloves in it and use that. Lamaisa, no matter what kind of besamim you use, you still, the minig is still, you say burim in a besamim regardless, presumably, so that people don't get mixed up, but that's why he's saying the better thing is to have something which is taka unquestionably burim in a besamim. In Spardish Kahilas, if you've ever been there, they use rose water, where they sprinkle a little rose water on your hand and you sniff it by Abdullah, and that also works, because that's also burim in a besamim. So Burmurda Eish, I mean, we'll learn about it more next time, Beis Hashem. I mean, the idea, as we talked about yesterday, you're supposed to be able to have Hanah from the fire. So yeah, if you're very far away and you're not going to be able to see, then it may tack and not work. But then why don't do it in shul? And in that case, do it at home, and then you have it. So it's, I don't know if it's so simple. I'm not sure about that.